Voices that inspire the extended interview.
I'm Sharon Caraway with American Red Cross. I'm the executive director for the Capital Area chapter located here in Tallahassee.
Sharon, how long have you been with the Red Cross?
I started with the Red Cross in 2004. And the reason is I was in Texas. I'm from Tallahassee, born and raised, and all the hurricanes were hitting Florida, and I felt like I needed to do something. So I volunteered, they deployed me, and it's been a long, wonderful journey.
So they first deployed you to Texas?
No, I was in Texas. They deployed me to Orlando. I got there the day before Jean hit. My first experience with Red Cross was actually going into a shelter.
So I have to ask you, what is it about you that makes you want to do this kind of work? Not everybody has a capacity for caring and the patience and all that takes to do the work that you do.
So I fell in love with Red Cross immediately. I was literally a professional volunteer, lots of opportunities. I was engaged in a lot of things. But when I was deployed to Florida and put on that vest, it didn't matter who I was. It didn't matter what my family name was. None of that mattered. All that mattered was what did I bring to the table to help the clients. And so it was a game changer for me. And it's almost instant gratification because you're right there in front of somebody who's probably experiencing one of the worst days of their life. And so you can make a difference right then. And so seeing that and having that opportunity is what created the fire inside of me. And it's continued for 20 years.
So you've had quite a week this week.
We have had a week. We have had a historic week.
How many people do you rally to come to the aid of the volunteer with the Red Cross when there is such an emergency like we've been going through?
So 90% of our workforce is volunteers. That's across the country. We've probably had at least 50 plus of our local volunteers. We are doing training almost every day to get more volunteers. COVID kind of took a hit with us, with our volunteers. And plus it's everybody's working. So we're really trying to encourage the community to come out and volunteer with us. We take an hour a week, an hour a month, full time. We take it all.
So what are most, like if a volunteer comes in, what are the kind of things that they'll experience?
Right now we are asking volunteers to come in and help support the shelter. They can work 4 6-hour shifts. Our normal shifts are like 7 to 7, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and then through the night. But because of the situation here, we're being extra flexible. We've already trained probably 10 or 15 people that are willing to give up of their time and come help support the community. We've trained people in damage assessment. That's the first thing that happens after a disaster so that we can have a full understanding of what the scope of the work is going to be, what the scope of the damage is. So the sheltering and damage assessment are our two greatest needs right now. We have deploy people from across the country now that are coming in to help, which is huge. So our chapter at 1115 Easterwood is a beehive of activity.
So take me through what it's like when you know Friday morning, for example, the storm takes a bad turn and suddenly we're in a disaster situation. What kicks in? What do you do? Are you home and you hear this and then you know, how does it work?
Well, so this is what we call a no-notice event, tornadoes, wildfires, bad storms. It's not like a hurricane where you've got a week or so and you know it's coming and you're prepared because 9 times out of 10, if the hurricane's coming, we're all at our chapter. I'm sleeping at the chapter the night before. We're there. That didn't happen with this event. I was at home when it happened, and I waited until I thought it was clear because I thought it was getting out of here at 9, so I headed into the chapter. Obviously, having no idea of the magnitude of the damage and destruction that these storms caused, and so we got all of our folks ramped up and put on standby, and shelters on standby, and you know going into high gear just to be prepared. And I will say one of the most important things is we encourage our community to be prepared. All the time to have a plan, have a kit, you know, stay informed with your news media, what's going on. If ever there was an example of how important it is for people to be self-sufficient for 72 hours, this is it. We had to be self-sufficient with our volunteers and our staff because we didn't get help from our region and help for a day or two. And so it's just that self-sufficiency and being prepared. I cannot emphasize enough how important that is.
So being prepared is paying attention, following the news, what the weather is, having supplies.
No, that is critical. We went to an apartment complex Sunday night, actually, and it was a 2- and 3-story one. People were trapped up on the – I say trapped because they were the mobility issues, and, of course, the elevator wasn't working. And so had those people – if they didn't have any supplies to sustain them, then it was a bad situation. Yes, we brought stuff, but – They were, some of them were like at the end of what they had to eat. And yeah, so it's just being prepared and having those supplies and not taking it for granted. You know, people start ramping up around hurricane season, like, yeah, I got my hurricane stuff already. You got to be ready 365 days a year.
So how many people do you think at this point you all have helped through this last week?
Thousands. There have been the shelter counts over 100. You know, there were averaging 30 to 40 a night. I expect that to grow with the bad weather coming in this weekend. We had mobile feeding routes yesterday where we had 600 hot meals that were delivered, but also we gave each family another box of food that would take care of them for a couple of days so that we could do other routes before we come back to those particular areas. We've had a respite center open at the chapter since day one, since Friday, and people have come in and they've had snacks and water and coffee and a safe place, dry space to be able to charge their phones, just kind of to recharge themselves and have a shoulder if they needed to talk or whatnot. So that'll go through at least for tomorrow. Again, we are bringing a lot more staff in to help support this effort because, like I said, it continues to grow as we're able to access more areas because that was part of the challenge for the first week is there are some cutoff roads. I can't say enough about our partners, people calling and saying, sharing information is so critical during a disaster, and that has worked wonderful here. Our community, social media, I mean, if you want to know what's going on, you get on social media, and the information there has actually honestly been very helpful to us because then it's shown us, okay, we've got to get to this neighborhood. And so you can't rely on one entity. You know, Red Cross, we're not the end-all be-all. We can do a lot, and we do a lot, but we can't do it all. And so our partners are critical, our state government, our local government, and our partnership with Leon County, with emergency management. You know, sharing all that information is what helps get our community the help that they need.
It must be such a relief for people when they see help coming. I there's a very famous Mr. Rogers story where he says, always look for the helpers. Mm-hmm. And I think about that in a disaster and people then coming in to help and how that must be such a relief to those who feel so trapped.
Well, and that's one of the things that I like to, a quote I like to use to our volunteers and to anybody that'll listen honestly, is that Red Cross provides a hand of help and a hug of hope, you know, because they've got to have that hope right there with that help and to know that things are going to be okay. And so that's the job that we're in, you know, trying to make sure that the community gets the resources that they need, but also has hope and know that there's people out here that care and will be there for them.
So, you know, you're seeing people at their most vulnerable, and they are probably different than when they are feeling on top of the world. How is that for you and all your staff when you're navigating people that are really in challenging emotional places?
It's challenging. It's hard. It's hurtful. Because you can't fix it for them. You know, they've just lost everything that they have, and whether it's a disaster like these tornadoes or whether it's a single family house fire. You know, when you've lost everything, I mean, it's tragic. We had actually a man that came in to take our shelter training volunteer class. He goes to our shelter. He's working our shelter. He goes home to find his generator has caught on fire and he's lost his house. And so the spirit of people, and yes, he's devastated, but he said, you know what? I don't have anything else to do. He said, so I'm happy to continue working in the shelter. I mean, the heart of a Red Cross volunteer is unbelievable. It's the most giving, selfless heart. They give up their warm bed, their home, their family to come here to support us. And I say here because this is us right now. I mean, I've been doing this for 20 years. Yes, we've had some disasters here in Tallahassee. You know, we've had Hermine, we've had flooding, but this is the worst I've ever seen it. And it's hard because it's home, you know, and so I take it very personal, you know. Yeah. So it's our biggest goal is to truly get the help to the people as quick as we can.
You know, we're doing this project looking at civics and how do we help people understand what that means and what it is to be part of a society and a community and our own responsibilities within it. I think you must have gotten a big dip of civic in you, Sharon. So where do you think that comes from, that sense of feeling that you can take on the burden of others, that you can help, you can lend a hand, you can help be responsible for people that are at their most vulnerable? Where does that come from within you?
Honestly, I feel like it's like the rent that I have to pay because I get to live. You know what I mean? It's a personal responsibility to me. Having grown up here in Tallahassee, I did the whole Girl Scout thing, learned about giving and serving from an early standpoint, from church and mission trips and stuff. So it's just, I've always felt a personal obligation that this isn't about me. My life is not about me. My life is about serving. And I don't sound sanctimonious by any means, but it's just it's not about me.
How do we help more people get to that place? Why do you think we are so angry all the time and we can't find more ways to come together? And it shouldn't take a disaster to get us to come together.
I think exposure to the need is one of the things. I mean, because I don't understand how somebody can see a need and not feel an obligation to help meet that need. Now, not that you can save the world or save everybody, but once you see something that stirs within you, then you got to listen to that. You've got to follow that quiet spirit inside you that's saying, you know, go help, go volunteer. And it looks different for everybody. For many years, I was frontline. I was working with clients, and then it got to be where I'm like, you know, I still really, it's important to me to support this, but I got to back away a little bit because I am a fix-it person, and you can't fix everything for people. I said, but you know what I can do? I can raise money. I can raise volunteers. I can support it by bringing the resources that our volunteers need in order to be able to support our communities.
What do you want people to know about those who do this kind of work and about the Red Cross? You know, maybe people have heard of it, don't really know what it is. Oh, well, it's where I give blood. Like, you know, what do you want people to understand about the Red Cross?
I think people need to know that the Red Cross is part of the world's largest humanitarian organization, and it's about taking care of people. My job is to not let anything get between me and helping a client. It doesn't matter who the client is. It doesn't matter their economic status. None of that matters. What matters is there's somebody in front of us that needs help, and our job is to help them. Now, obviously, it's more disaster related. We can't fix people who's had a car wreck. And, you know, we are limited on what we can do. But our mission is huge, and it's to bring the resources, the generosity of the American public, because we rely on that. You know, we're not federally funded. We rely on individuals, corporation, business to support what we do and rely on the generosity of our volunteers in order to be able to fulfill our mission.
That's wonderful. Well, what keeps you inspired in this work? The series is Voices That Inspire. So what keeps you inspired?
Well, so I said, you know, I started out as a volunteer, and it's not many people, I don't think, that have the opportunity for their volunteer work, their passion, to morph into a career. And so it has. I've been on staff with Red Cross for 14 years of my 20 years. And so it's honestly working with the volunteers, seeing the light shine in their eyes when they've come in and they tell a story about helping people and what they were able to accomplish, and then knowing on the flip side the help that the clients receive. You can't help but be inspired. Like I said, we've got the most selfless volunteers in the world. Not many people are willing to sleep on, come halfway across the country and sleep on a cot, you know, you know, when they could be at home in their bed eating their home-cooked meals instead of meals that are good and are nutritious, but they're not quite home-cooked.
Well, a hot meal is a hot meal it when is. You need a hot meal.
It is. It is. And I'm thrilled that we're able to now be at this in a situation to where enough of our vendors here have electricity. You know, that was a challenge over the weekend because trying to find places that could make a lot of meals for us when nobody had electricity. So we're in a different situation now. And so going forward, the hot meals at least once a day. So
as we, I think you've said a lot of great things, just as we sort of conclude, what are some tips that you would like to leave listeners with about, I know we talked about preparedness, but just, you know, more of personal, like being in their heart of being able to think about other people who have need?
I would encourage everyone to check on your neighbors. We found that with the apartment complex that the neighbors didn't know each other, but there were a handful of people that took it upon themselves to go door to door, knocking on doors to see how people were, to see if they had any needs. And so I really think, I mean, Red Cross is neighbor helping neighbor. And so I encourage neighbors to help neighbors to talk to your people, know who your neighbors are, you know, because yes, disasters bring people together. But it helps so much if you're already together, if you already have an idea of who's who and what skill set you've got around you. You just got to know your resources, know what's right around you. And that's part of being prepared is honestly knowing what's around you and who you can call on immediately and who you know you need to call on and check on.
That's great. First of all, I want to thank you for coming in a very busy week and spending some time talking with me. I just really am sort of taken with this idea of how we can get more people thinking about others. And I think we all are healthier when we think about ways we can give.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's good for our heart and our minds.
And, you know, I personally feel like everybody's put on this earth for a purpose. So I encourage people to find their purpose. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say 99.9%, the purpose is not going to be about them. It's going to be about what can you do to help others or what service can you give to others.
Yep, I think so too.
I'm Sharon Caraway, American Red Cross Executive Director for Capital Area Chapter. I encourage you to be a helper. Help your neighbors.